Welcome to the Mind Over Matter podcast with Heather Hakes, where mindset is everything. Thank you for joining me for today's podcast. If you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe and leave me a review. This podcast is designed to help open your awareness to the truth of who you are, a limitless being. You are worthy and deserving of an abundant and prosperous life. It's time to peel back the false beliefs and live the life you dream about. For additional resources or to contact me directly, please visit my website, heatherhakes.com. Welcome to episode number 595. In today's podcast, you are going to learn how to reprogram your subconscious mind for success, happiness, health, wealth, better relationships, and more. Make sure you apply what we are sharing with you in this lesson, and I promise you, you'll experience change in your life. Welcome to today's podcast interview. I brought on Dagna Biena on today's podcast. Dagna, welcome.
Hi, Heather. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited for today's conversation because we're going to go in a little bit of a different lens than normal and in using metaphors and ideas of like software and hardware and programming since you're an engineer. Before we dive in and get started, please give listeners a little background. Where do you live and what do you do?
So I currently live in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm career coach for software engineers. I've been a software engineer before, and so I'm the tough love kind of a coach for my clients, been in your shoes style. And, you know, because I've been an engineer, I know exactly what it is that my clients face on a daily basis as a coach.
Well, and what I love about this idea, because we're talking mindset and how to reprogram and upgrade and, you know, live highest potential or fulfillment, but it's going to be interesting coming from your lens. So I'd love to share a little bit more about what happened that got you into where you're at today. What changed the trajectory of your career? Pardon the interruption. If this content is resonating with you, please be sure to leave a 5-star review. I want to offer you some additional resources. Visit my website, heatherhakes.com, and sign up for my free video training on how to reprogram your subconscious mind. I also offer one-on-one coaching. I will help you create clarity and a roadmap so you can live the life you dream about. Best part? Everything I teach, you can start implementing right now. To learn more and apply, visit heatherhakes.com. Now, back to regular programming.
So as an engineer, you know, a lot of the time you work on very interesting stuff and you kind of like chase that curiosity because it's interesting, right? So I've worked on projects where I was building robots. I was implementing social behaviors within those robots so they could interact with humans. I was working on projects where I was working on an app that had like this distributed level to it, and that was very interesting, you know. Then I moved towards working in apps that were not apps but like cell phone towers that were distributing internet to cell phones. And you know, a lot of what I've done as an engineer was just super interesting. And as I was progressing in my career, I realized that because of the fact that I was chasing all these shiny technical new things, I was overworking myself, right? Often I stayed up late at night chasing that curiosity, trying to solve the bug, implement a feature, ship the thing faster. And that's pretty common for engineers early in their careers to like work too much. And as a result, I burned myself out. And once I started working in my burnout recovery with a third party, I had an excellent therapist that through talk therapy helped me get out of that particular state. And it was a whole mix of things, really, Heather, because burnout was part of it. The fact that I immigrated from Poland to United States was another part of it. Like there was some grief there that I didn't want to let go of my past life. And also I had kids around that same time. So, you know, it all kind of layered together. But when I got back to work and I was super excited to come back to work after that period of time, I realized that the things that were bringing me joy and sparking that like motivation in the morning to wake up and go to work, they were no longer there. So a lot of the feelings started, like negative feelings started spilling out, and I was sarcastic, I was ironic, I was difficult to be around because I couldn't handle, what was going on because of the burnout, the postpartum depression, the grief, like all those complex layers of the things that were affecting me. But after I've gone through therapy, what happened was I realized I got much better and I improved my communication skills too. And I realized that if just talking to someone and changing what you believe to be true about yourself, about the world around you, can have such a massive effect on someone's life, then I want to do it too. And so I transitioned from being an engineer to being a coach.
Here's a question I have for you, because I feel like a lot of this is relatable, and especially the Western American culture is to hustle and grind and make shit happen, and like we glorify burnout. But what I have found through working with clients, especially men, tend to push an effort to prove their worth because ultimately inside they feel unworthy and they think the money and the accolades and whatever will bring that fulfillment, right?
Yeah, that's true. That I also was wearing burnout as like this badge of honor, right? I felt that it was proving my commitment to my career, to my workplace, to my family because I was working hard and I was never stopping. But part of that too is kind of like what I call the legacy mental programming, right? Which is something that essentially gets absorbed by your mind, depending on how you grow up, right? And so for me, that behavior was modeled. My parents, they have been working hard their entire life, and I never knew anything different. So that's, a big part of it. There's the cultural messages, but there's also what you kind of get from the environment that you're growing up with. And a lot of the time, I call it legacy because you as a person don't really have, a lot of weigh in on what gets programmed in your mind, right? You can, as an adult, reprogram what's been instilled in you and kind of fix that legacy couple code that's breaking and causing issues in your life. But that, takes certain skill set, certain awareness level. And, that's where coaches like you and I come in. We help people figure it out how to kind of weed out those limiting beliefs that they have, which I call the bugs in their internal mental programming, and how to essentially replace them with new thought patterns, with new behavioral patterns that serve them better, right?
Okay, so I think this is so good, and I want to break this down because we're saying the same thing. I'm just gonna, what I normally talk from as an example is that our mind is a mental garden. The thoughts we think are the seeds we plant, we reap what we sow. So you're calling them bugs, I call them weeds. The need to pull the weeds, plant new seeds. So I want to hear from you, your lens and your training and experience for people who have those mental blocks, scarcity thinking, these bugs that are keeping them stuck or playing small. Number one, how do they become aware of the bugs and how do they upgrade mental programming? Because I truly believe that we can have be do anything we desire when we let go of the resistance, the bugs, the viruses, right?
So the way that I walk through this process with my clients, and I'm actually writing this down, this whole entire process, and I'll be releasing soon a book with all the process within the book. But the first thing that we do, that I do with my engineering clients, is we do what's called in software development root cause analysis, right? So the first thing you have to understand is you kind of have to dive into the code base and you have to understand, okay, what is causing the issue? We know there's a problem because let's say a user, end user reported it. Let's say they said, oh, I downloaded your app on my phone and I couldn't log in because the app crashed. And, feedback is really how you get that information. Okay, something's not working. In the regular life realm, the feedback could be, you didn't get that job that you were applying for. Your relationship ended. You're not getting friendship, right? Like people are kind of not wanting to maybe spend time with you. So those are all instances of feedback. We typically think of feedback as, verbal, as words that other people tell us. But a lot of the time, what happens around you is feedback. If you're not getting the results that you want, that's feedback. Like it carries some sort of information that then you take, like, okay, if I'm getting this feedback and I'm not getting the results, that means there's a bug. And that's like when you dive into the code base and you start the root cause analysis, trying to figure out what's not working. In terms of a mental programming, what you do is you have to realize, okay, this is my current behavior and these are my current thoughts. And they're moving me away from what it is that I'm trying to accomplish, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like the buggy behavior. And the next step, the second step, is once you realize why you keep getting the results you're currently getting by analyzing that programming in your mind, you go towards future planning, right? So you want to figure out, okay, how do I want to behave? How do I want to think? How do I want to feel in order to get the thing that I want? Whether that's a relationship, whether that's a job, whether that's more money, whether that's more impact or more, accomplishment in life, whatever it is that you're looking for can be put into that particular framework. And this is nothing really new, right? I learned it in my therapy, right? So we used cognitive behavioral therapy, and that's one of the tools that I used with my own therapist. The only thing that I'm doing differently is I'm using the language that my engineering clients understand.
Yes.
So it really lands, right?
Right. Okay, so those are the two big things. What I wrote down is number one, you're right. Like you have to, I guess my lingo would be you have to become aware of how I've been thinking and being. So a lot that I talk about, and I'm curious from your lens, is paying attention to the story you tell. So I'll give a real world example. I recently had a call with an individual. This guy, this was his story. So these are his bugs, right? His story was he's unemployed. He's been searching for months. 90% of the resumes get kicked out. So there's the lack, the scarcity, not enoughness. Then it was his future planning. It's going to take months to find a job. So he was stuck in this negative feedback loop and getting more of the same. So let's say somebody like that comes to you, or we could change the condition. Maybe it's somebody dating and relationships or money and finances, whatever the condition may be, if that's the root cause, the analysis, the bug, what's coming in, not what they want, what would you be doing to help them stop the momentum and create a new trajectory?
Well, first realize what are some common bugs, right? So some common, we would call them anti-patterns in programming, would be perfectionism, right? Would be hard work bias, would be some of those limiting beliefs that keep you in that stuckiness, right? And once we can pinpoint what are those beliefs and where are they coming from? Is it something that, was modeled for you? Was that a cultural message that you received? Is it something that happened to you in the past once and you assumed it's always going to happen like that? Right. And then we start noticing what comes up. Whenever we are aware, as you said, what is coming up, that's when we could do something about it. Right. So then we do future planning. Let's say perfectionism is the problem. Let's say he wants to apply to all those jobs in your example. And, what he's doing is he's looking for like the perfect job opportunity where he can check mark every single box. And if we notice that it's the perfectionism that's kind of like the buggy behavior, excuse me, the buggy behavior that's causing the issues, that he's not really applying to as many jobs as he would like. We can then try to change his perspective, reframe his thoughts, right? Or maybe it's something about, with the perfectionism in this scenario, one thing that comes to my mind is like, if I apply for the job, that means I need to get it. If I didn't get the job, then what was the point in applying, right? Which is kind of like shooting yourself in the knee because obviously you have to apply to multiple jobs in order to get an opportunity. And then maybe land a job. So if we can reframe how this person sees applying for new jobs, that can really help them a lot. Because what if your goal wasn't to land a job, but your goal was to build this skill called interviewing, so that every time you do it, you get better, you improve, you build a skill, you learn how to market yourself better, how to package your skill set and all the past experiences that you've had in order to land that next job, right? So that's something that would kind of like fit into the scenario.
Well, and a lot of this is just I love the word you used, reframe, but I think it comes down to persistence and being resilient, because a lot of people, rejection's a big one. So let's say when you're applying to jobs and they get rejected, or even with dating, they get rejected, so they want to quit and give up. And so I think the message is it's feedback. So try something new. What you're doing isn't working. Try something new. And so how would you offer somebody to, what could they do to create that resilient or persistent mindset instead of giving up?
So you mentioned fear of rejection, and yes, that's one of like very common scenarios, or fear of failure, right? And one thing to recognize here is that that's kind of the norm. So if our brains don't like rejection, yes, that means we're perfectly normal. Because when our brains were optimized at the very beginning of times, back when we're, living in caves, what happened was that rejection was deadly. Failure was deadly. It's not anymore, but our mind doesn't really know it because it's still working from that initial configuration setup. So one of the things that I do with my clients when we start working is we kind of like understand that this is normal, that this means we have a healthy brain if we dislike rejection, if we dislike failure, because on, this basic human level, back many, 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 many millions of years ago, it meant that we could have died. And our brain is really optimized to keep us safe and survive. So changing the baseline here helps. That's kind of like, stepping stone towards awareness, like, oh, okay, what my brain is doing is perfectly normal. Great. But another thing in terms of increasing resilience that I highly, highly recommend is going through neurofeedback training if that's available to you. So neurofeedback training, sometimes called EEG biofeedback, is essentially a set of training where whenever you go into the clinic, they scan your brain and they tell you how your brain behaves on like this hardware kind of level, right? So how do you act? How do you operate? Because of how your brain is wired. And the cool thing about the neurofeedback training is it helps you to kind of rewire your brain. And of course, you could do that with habits, but it's so much easier, right? It's kind of like a shortcut to optimizing your brain to becoming so it becomes more resilient.
Well, even what's coming to mind is it's kind of like the idea that many people are functioning on an antiquated, old way of thinking. So I'd love to talk more about the subconscious mind and the need to, quote, update or upgrade. Because, like, think about how often our phones update all the
All
time.
the time.
But with humans, it's like, when is the last time you updated your OS, your operating system, your mindset, your beliefs? This is not something we're generally taught. So can we talk? Let's talk about a couple things there. One, can you explain the subconscious mind and how that's like creating our outputs? And if we don't like the output, what we can be doing to upgrade our own internal operating system to get a better reality?
Yes. So, we kind of mentioned the software and hardware analogy here. The way that I refer to it is software is your thoughts, your thinking patterns, and then your behaviors and actions kind of like come from those behavioral patterns. And you can, for example, through going through talk therapy or journaling, you can reflect and you can change your software. You can upgrade your software by doing those things, right? And then you have the hardware, which is how your brain is actually wired. So, with the reference to the computer, is kind of like with the software, we're recording this interview on Zoom, right? Zoom has buttons, you can press them, there's this user interface, you can interact with those software elements of the application, right? And then you have the hardware part where your computer essentially monitors like its own temperature and adjusts the fan. Does the fan have to like go higher or lower in making sure that the computer doesn't overheat and we can actually have this Zoom conversation that we're having right now, right? So with the hardware, a lot of things that are happening is that a lot of the things that we do might be subconscious. There might be hidden, and we're not able to actually access that information. With your computer, if you have particular skills and you know like which command to put into your terminal on macOS, for example, you could access that information. You could override the speed of the fan. So it is possible to like dig into that subconscious and access those levels that are not typically available because they're not in the conscious and easily available. But you have to have specific skill set in order to be able to get and to get and dig deeper into the subconscious part. I hope it might make sense, because it's very engineering heavy metaphor.
Okay, so and I'm picking up what you're putting down, but I study this stuff day. I mean, I'm fully immersed in this. So let's talk at a higher level. I want to ask you questions that come to me, and let's like put it through your system and software engineer space, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about symptoms. So if people are like, okay, wait a minute. So you're saying that there could be bugs in my subconscious programming that are keeping me broke, or keep putting me in dead-end relationships, or that's why I'm not getting that job. So let's talk about the symptoms. The symptoms that I see come to me are symptoms like procrastination, inconsistent, self-doubt, being distracted. So think about our numbing agents, right? So a lot of people might have really good intentions. That's the conscious mind. Really great intentions. To get healthy or to save money. But if they don't understand the subconscious programming 95% where their hardware, where they're like wired, they can try and effort as much 5% as they want, but that could never override 95% of the hardware. But what we're saying is when you understand the 95% of the programming, when you get a hold, when you shine a light on those bugs, we can eradicate them to get better output. Did I bring that full circle?
Precisely. I
Okay.
loved how you summed it up. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So now, if people are like, okay, yeah, I admit I'm full of self-doubt. I do procrastinate. Or they chase a shiny object, but they never finish anything. Or they have a pain point of like, I really want to make this amount, but I'm only making this amount. Or entrepreneurs, big one in my space, that ebb and flow, the up and down roller coaster, inconsistent income. So let's talk about that ebb and flow, the up and down the roller coaster on how we can create a more even, smooth ride to get to the level we actually want. What do you do?
So that's a very broad topic, right? Because it again goes back to why those behaviors are happening. Why are we thinking the thoughts we are? Like, where is it coming from? And how does that trickle down to the inconsistency, the procrastination? And one thing that I want to point out is that whatever our brain has been programmed to do is meant to aid our survival. It's meant to help us out. It's meant to keep us safe, right? So, for example, yes, let's say in the small business space, we want to market ourselves, right? But we feel that being invisible is actually safer for us, right? So, what our brain is going to do, it's going to sabotage any kind of situation where we are stepping up in the spotlight, where we're trying to be seen, where we're, for example, posting on LinkedIn and someone says something negative, and then we're like, oh my God, they're attacking us. I need to stop posting right away because I can't handle it, right? And it all happens on that subconscious level. So we're not even aware. And that's why the awareness of our behavioral patterns is key. And, you know, this is something that we need help with because for us, all those things are sitting in our blind spot, right? And then all the behavior, excuse me, all the behavior that is seen from our perspective because of how our minds work is going to get rationalized. So we might not even be aware that we're falling into those patterns that are not serving us anymore. But that third party perspective, having a coach like yourself or myself in someone's corner can be that game changer. So they stop sabotaging themselves and start doing the thing that they need to be doing. So, you know, that's kind of like one aspect of it. The second aspect of it too is that sometimes because of how our brains are wired, we might be sabotaging ourselves unconsciously, right? So like whenever our brain processes any information that comes from the outside to the inside, first of all, our brain doesn't really have that much capacity for processing information. Right? There's so much information being generated around us that a lot of the information that even though it hits our senses, it gets dismissed. Right? So our brain has to be really good with kind of like figuring out what to pay attention to. But then some of the sensory information doesn't even get processed in our conscious mind, in our prefrontal cortex. It just goes straight up, sent to amygdala, and it fires alarms, and we act automatically, even though we don't want to act a certain way. And that's where the neurofeedback can help, because, excuse me, it helps you become more resilient and, connect more of parts of your brain to that prefrontal cortex so you can make a decision, a conscious decision, what you want to do with that sensory input that's coming in.
Here's something that's top of mind that you touched on that I want to expand a little bit further is the idea of self-sabotage. Because I've literally heard people's say it. I know what I need to be doing, and I'm still not doing it. So as an example, I don't, maybe it's, I was watching this Netflix series last night, and it's overweight people going to kind of like this group community on how to lose weight. But any, because I love the mindset and stuff behind that, understanding our emotions, why they're driving our behavior. But on that note, when we're talking about self-sabotage, I have learned that women, as an example, overweight women, a lot of times they've literally put on that protective barrier because something happened, sexual, physical abuse, or whatever. So they think in order to be unattractive or not wanted, they need that all that weight so they're not attractive. So even if they wanted to get healthy and thinner or whatever, that subconscious programming is it's not safe, and so that's why they're sabotaging. So
Exactly.
can we talk about that kind of at a high level? If we become aware of our self-sabotage patterns, understand there's something much deeper. Like what I can see right now is the idea of an iceberg, tip of the iceberg versus like what's going on below. If we're aware of self-sabotage, I know what I need to be doing and I'm still not doing it. How can we break through that barrier?
So first, I want you to, if you listening are having that issue and you're trying to like give me advice, tell me what to do, like I want to know now. So first step, I would like you to take a moment and appreciate your body, appreciate your subconsciousness, because whatever you're doing, even though it's annoying and you don't want to be self-sabotaging yourself, it's good for you. There's a hidden payoff. There's a reason why your internal code is following in line, right? So the way to get past it is to dig into what's going on. Why are you self-sabotaging? How is it that serving you? What's the hidden payoff, right? And once you can realize, for example, you know, I could speak to it from my own example too, is when I moved to the States, I felt like I had to like sacrifice my family of origin in order to be successful here in the States in terms of, you know, making money, having a comfortable life, and all that, and having my own family. And in my mind, this idea of success fused with this idea of me having to sacrifice my family. So I would also self-sabotage myself because my mind, you know, deep down was like, if you're going to be successful, you're going to have to sabotage your family. You have to give up your husband, give up your kids. You're never going to see them again. And of course, it's all kind of blown out of perspective because I do visit my parents back in Poland every now and then. I can call them. I actually do call them every now and then. And so, you know, in my mind, these two ideas fused. And that's what's happening. You're self-sabotaging because there's a perceived danger, there's a perceived threat. Your mind has those ideas fused, or as we would call it in programming terms, coupled. And you have to decouple these two things. You have to realize one has nothing to do with the other. And
Yeah.
whenever you're able to really kind of like untangle these two, that's when you're able to move forward and stop sabotaging yourself,
Yeah.
right? So it's really about understanding what's going on, why it's going on, and, you know, acknowledging yourself because your mind is not trying to sabotage you, it's trying to protect you.
Yeah.
So like from that perspective, you got to dig into like what's going on.
This is such a deep, level topic at hand. But what's coming to mind is, everything's so convoluted and we make a mess out of it. But here's what I'd love for you to share, a real world example, maybe personally or a client, because I want to paint a picture that for people listening and watching that, okay, when I become aware, when I get rid of the bugs, when I have you talked earlier about future planning, like getting clear on what you actually want, let's talk about what's possible when you do this internal work.
So with just my clients, you know, I've had clients come to me for various reasons. And as we work together, some of them, you know, increased their salary. I've had a client who doubled his salary as a result of working with me with 3 months because he was able to understand what was holding him back. And then, you know, use that awareness to start acting differently. I've had clients who had massive imposter syndrome or massive anxiety in social situations. And once we were able to shine the light on those limiting beliefs, on those bugs in their internal code, and then reprogram them, I've had a client tell me that his anxiety reduced 80%. And he was able to start making friends because before he was so scared of having, you know, friendships that he would just automatically push people away. And now he was able to kind of like embrace human beings around him and start co communicating differently, making friendships differently. So the results can be incredible
Yeah.
if you're willing to put in the work.
Yes. And what's possible, and look, like even for those individuals in a short period, I tend to clients, I've heard more often than not, they're like after 2 to 3 weeks, I feel a change because they've become aware and they're starting to forward focus rather than be stuck in the mud. Here's what I want to ask you. What are some of your daily rituals that help you stay aware and programming what you actually want?
So definitely recommend journaling. Journaling is amazing. It helps bring things to awareness. It helps also focus. So like whenever you're doing things that you want and they're in line with your goals, that's how you also build more forward momentum and motivation, right? Something that I don't do on a daily basis, but on a quarterly basis is do a big reflection planning on how the quarter went so that in my day to day, I can kind of keep track whether or not I'm moving towards my goals.
Yeah.
And I used to be a big perfectionist, and I was really hard on myself where I couldn't really appreciate the journey. I was just like, I need that goal. I want to reach the goal. I want to keep moving towards that particular thing, whatever it was. But then once I achieved the goal, it was maybe like a 3 second victory, and then we're back to climbing another mountain, right? And because right now I'm clear that I'm moving towards what I want, even if it's like a tiny little bit every single day, that what gives me fulfillment, that what makes me happy. The second thing I highly want to recommend is doing mirror exercise. So mirror exercise is whenever you talk to yourself in the mirror at the end of the day and you appreciate yourself looking deep into your own eyes for everything that you've done. And that helps to rewire, excuse me, that helps to rewire the mental pathways, because we're not used to hearing praise. We have the negativity bias within us and we tend to think negative thoughts. And so by putting effort in thinking good things and praising yourself, you also build that forward momentum. You build confidence. You feel better about yourself. So these are the two, three things that I do on a daily basis.
Well, and doing the mirror work as an example, trust me, I tried it years ago. I learned that through Louise Hay, and it was really uncomfortable at first. But think about it, that way we turn into our biggest cheerleader instead of our number one critic.
Yes,
And then
exactly.
that alone is different thoughts, different energy, different experiences. We have a little bit of time, so I still want to dive into this. We've both have done ayahuasca, and I'd love to hear what happened for you during your ayahuasca experience. I want to hear what was your takeaway.
Yes, I loved it, but I don't think I'll ever do it again. It was so intense. And I think that ayahuasca is incredible for anyone who's looking to really connect with their own sense of purpose in life as a whole. And, as you're preparing yourself for, for the event, you want to make sure that you work on a set of intentions. You want to make sure that you're clear what it is that you're trying to get out of experience. And what they did tell us at the very beginning is like, you may not receive what you wanted, but you will receive what you need. And that's exactly what I got. And it was like incredible. And like the funny part about the ayahuasca experience is my husband loved it because I came back home feeling so much more appreciation for him as a person and how of an amazing husband he's been. And I'm like, I haven't been really, nice to you the way that I should have been, So he really loved it, but the real part of the ayahuasca experience was that I experienced my death in reverse. And so my experience was kind of like I entered the afterlife and then experienced undying, essentially, or my last moments in reverse. So I experienced my body disintegrating, losing my senses, not hearing, seeing, or I had this perception that I just became a breath. And during the undying process, someone was holding my hand and I could feel the fear in them and my own fear of mortality. But the message that I received in that particular experience was that I'm going to live a really long life. And so the things that I'm worrying about right now, in the big scheme of things, in the span of my life that's awaiting, they're not really that big of a deal. So if I get the result that I want next year or in 5, it doesn't really have that much of a difference in the span of, let's say, next 50 or 60 years, right? It was hugely transformational. And what I loved about the experience itself is that I kept getting like a lot of verbal messages and I wrote it all down. And I use it in my like pick me up affirmations whenever I'm feeling down or things are not going my way. And I kind of open my notes and I start reading all those messages that I received. And every single time I do, I get chills on my back.
I just want to share real quick. When I did ayahuasca, the message that came to me, so mine was just a 2-night ceremony, and I actually went in with no intention because I just wanted whatever needed to come to me that I was open to it. And so the message I received, I had a lot of physical pain and suffering. It was very dark. And then I surrendered and I let go and I asked for help. And then I had this waterfall washed through and like this huge release. But the message I received was all suffering is self-imposed, and all suffering
Wow.
begins in the mind.
Wow.
Yeah. But even that, so we've both have done that. You know, we don't have to go to those extremes. Like we don't have to rely on an external force, right, to give us that message or that liberation or that freedom, right? That's already within.
Yes, exactly. All that you need is within you.
Yes. Well, and that was a question I asked you, you know, a billboard message. So I love that you added that. Here's what I'd love to ask you, because we've touched on a lot today. And I want to know, what do you believe is a key takeaway you want listeners to get?
All that you really need is within you. And then I know that sometimes it's hard to see it for yourself, but having someone like a coach, like a therapist, like a trusted friend who understand how the mind works like can be extremely important and put you on an accelerated path in that self-growth and self-development.
Yeah.
So stop waiting and just get a coach, get a therapist, start talking with your friends on deep topics, because that's really how you're able to access that next level of yourself.
Yes, and obviously anyone watching this is into personal development and growth mindset and seeking that change. So thank you for sharing that. I'd love to wrap up the interview, so I have a few rapid fire questions for you.
Go ahead.
What is a quote or motto that you live by?
The bad thing is, time flies. The good thing is, you're the pilot.
Love that. What is a book you're currently reading or highly recommend on, you know, the idea of mindset or neuroprogramming that we talked about?
Oh, I love Joe Dispenza's book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. Absolutely love it. Another one that I'm reading is Joanna Gaines' latest book. And I love how she talks about her growth. You know, she's been on Fixer Upper, but she also has five kids. And she's kind of like the model that I'm looking to towards when it comes to the family side of my life. And she has a lot of very interesting thoughts there in terms of being in the moment, holding on to moments of joy, but then also letting things go. So I really appreciate both of these books.
I love Chip and Joe. Final question. What advice would you give your younger self?
Do the neurofeedback training as soon as you start making money.
Amazing. Dagna, thank you so much for joining me today and having this conversation.
Absolutely. I loved being here, loved being your guest, and thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning into today's episode. I'd love it if you could leave me a review and remember to subscribe and share this episode with your friends. If you haven't yet, connect with me on the social platforms. You can add me on Instagram at heather.hakes and subscribe to my YouTube channel. I'll catch you on the next episode.